Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to HJT Design Radio Straight Talk, a show dedicated to exploring all aspects of creating a great dental office, where the only dumb question is the question that's not asked. Here's Jim and Han.
Good evening, Jim Jervis here, along with my co-host Han Tron. Han, how are you?
I am marvelous, Jim, just marvelous. How is things with you?
Doing well. Glad that we're back on the show again. Sorry for the ding. One day I'll figure out how to use this computer. Well, tonight's show, welcome to Straight Talk episode number 99. We're quickly jumping to that 100. Tonight's topic is, do you do this? What? Well, you know, we over the years of dealing with working on dental facilities have had one question that's come up probably the most of any, and it's a question of, can you help us with this? Can you help us with that? So, you know, that's why the title, Do You Do This? So tonight we're going to kind of give you an overview of the things that we provide or we can help, and maybe a question would be that things that you may want to ask someone else that maybe you're looking at to help you with, do you provide this? Just to give you an understanding of what really is necessary, what really needs to be done, and mostly to answer your questions. So we've kind of compiled, Han and I have kind of compiled a list of several. Obviously, in an hour, we probably won't be able to get through all of the things that we have been asked or heard, but there are some major questions that I think it's important to go over. One of which that we just heard recently is, do you review existing plans and facilities, and how do you go about doing that? Well, Han, let's talk about that. Do you review existing and new plans?
Yeah, I think that is a very good question, and I think a lot of time is that there just seems like a myth or a belief that if it's an existing building and they just want minor renovation and or, you know, freshen up the facility, that it's just too small, you know, it's too small for us, you know, for the architects to look at or to mess with. So naturally, you know, our work involved in every aspect of the building, large and small. Sometimes it's just a simple few hours, and sometimes it's a few hundred hours. But if you are entertaining or in the process of looking at buildings, whatever it may be, whether it's a shopping center or an old church or, you know, an old school buildings, whatever it is, somebody should take a look at it with you, for you, and determine what it is, how it is going to be used, so that you purchase a building that you can actually maximize its usage rather than simply buy a building because you need a building. There is structural issue. There is, you know, electrical, plumbing, and all that stuff. Those are the mechanical, you know, the building system. But the building itself, okay, will it fit your need? A lot of time I heard that the recommendation is to have a builder look at it with you to see what it costs to build. Well, a builder may have experience in putting things together. The architect and engineer at design, but there's very few that we have, that myself, and I'm pretty sure that same for Jim, that had encountered contractor that actually have the creative mind that can solve usability or the feasibility of how that building can be utilized for the client's need, as well as expansions and all that stuff. So it's an item that I think the message I want to get across is that the architects or your design professional will be more than happy and willing to look at the things, look at the building, the existing building, whether you're buying an existing, you know, an existing practice, or you're buying a new building that's going to be converted, gutted, and rebuilt. They can look at it and then give you some idea what can be done, so that way you don't buy it and say, what can I do with this? Okay, because after the fact could be very shocking. It could be costly too if the answer is nothing. Okay, let's say you buy a residential building and the code and the zoning would not allow you to convert it, even if you go for a variance, for special use variance, and they won't allow that. You bought basically a residential building and you're going to be able to rent out as a residential, you know, unit. You can't convert it. So it's best to invest into the service of the people who know, who can help you and guide you through that. I say it's invest because it will cost you. It will cost you a little bit or it'll cost you a lot. But you need to have answers before you actually do something or purchase that existing building. Even if it's an existing practice, the technology change, the way you deliver your dental services or treatment may not be the exact thing that office had to offer. Your future plan may need to have more accommodation. So all of that, most of your questions should be answered before you make that commitment and purchase it. Jim?
Yeah, and actually to add on a little bit to that, Han, there's a lot of times you don't even know what the questions are. There, you know, obviously, you're the dentist. That's what you've been trained to do. And just like we are the designers and the architects, we've been trained to do that. So that's our expertise. Your expertise is dentistry. Your expertise is not the practice of trying to design or trying to figure out if this particular building is going to be a great dental office. I don't think they have a class in dental school that talks about office design. At least I don't think they do. And there's a reason why. You guys are focused on dealing with the aspect of dentistry. We're focused on dealing with the aspect of providing you the facility so that you can do dentistry. Now, that may seem a little complicated, but really it's pretty simple. Let the experts deal with what the experts do. And it's very crucial that you let the experts do that work that they should do, because, like Han said, it could potentially save you untold amount of money and frustration and aggravation and we're talking from experience. We've seen it. We're purchasing the wrong facility with the intent to do something ends up being a game killer, in the sense that the whole project just dies, and because whatever reason, and that reason could be that the facility just could not be turned into something that the dentist wanted, and then it turns around and the dentist has to try to liquidate that, and we've seen it stop projects dead, cold in their tracks, because it was the wrong piece of property, or it's the wrong building, or inherently just something that's caused this, could be a zoning issue, all those things which we deal with and we look at. So I guess the moral of the story is, yes, we do in fact review existing places, facilities, plans and such, And we've always advocated that it's very important that you get someone like us to look at what you're doing and would like to do and look at that existing facility or that new piece of property before you sign on the bottom line and see if it is in line with what you're going to want to try to do with that property. You know, if you say, like Hans says, you know, you want to take and buy an old house and turn it into a new dental office because it's located across from the perfect location. You got traffic coming out, you know, of every corner of the woodwork. You've got a grocery store over here. You've got a bank over here. You've got a major medical facility over that corner. The school's on the other side behind you. And, you know, all the places that check off our list of the perfect places to put your facility. But the existing piece of property may or may not allow you to do what you want to do. So I guess it's very important that you at least let your design professional look at this thing before you buy, or at least sign on the dotted line. Does that make sense, Han, or what are we missing that?
I think we've got it covered. I think we've got it covered. I mean, we're talking, now we're sharing actual things that we had went through for our clients. So it's not a, it's not a what do you call it, a scare tactic by any means. They say that the best school, what is it? The best lessons is the lessons that other people have done. So you don't, now we have situations. I've heard this often, and I've seen it posed on, on downtown for discussion and stuff. And from time to time, the comments or feedback will be, my contractor recommend that we just tear down this house, this structure, and start new. And what they don't realize and what they didn't tell you is that unless that contractor have already done their homework, I don't care how long they've been in the community, and I don't care if they are, if their father is the building official, code is code, they're laws. If unless they have done the homework, tearing down an existing building that had been around for 20, 30, or 40 years, automatically kick you into being compliant with the existing or newly adopted code and zoning ordinance and stuff like that, which may prevent you from actually using that piece of land where it could fit your building and your parking, because the change of setback and stuff like that would reduce the usability of the lot. So you're a design professional.
And Han,
you don't
you
have
bring
to be
up a very important point. Yeah, you bring up a very important point in this thing. And this is real stuff. We've been doing this for 14 plus years. And we've pretty much seen it all, heard it all. And Han and I don't get questions that would kind of say, wow, never heard that before. We've had facilities that were, the existing building could not be torn down, because if it was torn down completely, there would be no possible way by the current code, specifically zoning, that would allow a new building to be built. So in that particular project, we kept one wall. By definition, the building was not demoed. And so effectively everything from then on was considered a renovation, and it allowed us to keep the facility and such and be able to create a solution for the dentist. It was one of those things where it was the perfect location. It had to be here. How do you make this work? Well, that's how. And when Han talks about builders, not being the perfect solution solvers in that regard, builders are expert in one thing, and that is building. Yeah, there's some great builders out there that might have a good design idea or design thoughts, but they're the builder. Let them do what they do best, and that is build. What does things cost? How do you get it accomplished? You let the designer and the architect deal with the design, and you deal with the dentistry. You put those three people together as the team, and you've got a winning, successful team. Now, as part of this question, we've been asked the question before is, and Han, you've looked at thousands of layouts that have come across on Dental Town and other forums, and you're always asked the question, people have always asked, would you look at what my designer has come up with or what someone else has come up with and comment on that. So I just want everyone to understand that we in fact will provide that. We can do that for you. But the question that was asked of us just recently was, I've got a newer facility that is already done, but it just doesn't seem to flow right. And so the question was asked, do you look at the internal part of the existing facility and help with efficiency and flow? We've had that question before, haven't we, Han? And we've actually done a bunch of that.
Yeah, it's all the time. I think it's the approach to the right answer. It's not so much as tear it down, start over, because that would be cost prohibitive, and you should run if you get that kind of response. There's always room for improvement, and I think it's our approach to design. Now, when Jim says that we've been at this for 14, 15 years, mind you, it's not just dental buildings. Buildings are buildings. We have done a tremendous number of different projects too, but in the last 14, 15 years have been pretty exclusively dental facilities. There's always ways and solution to solve the problem. You can't solve all the problem, but at least get a value in your attempt so that it improves your facility or your layout to some qualifiable value. Because you don't, a terrible thing would be to just throw money into a problem and not getting anything out of it just because you can. So we look at buildings, it's almost like technically it would be like a second look. Somebody did something. It's almost like you have a new patient who have had treatment done by somebody else or some other dentist in another town or another country, and you're trying to assess what is the situation and what can be done, if any, or if anything, to improve the current situation. So, yes, we look at buildings regardless how old it is or how new it is. If there's problems, there is a solution that can be garnered to improve. So did I answer the question, Jim?
You did. Let's jump to the next one, which is kind of related, but also slightly different. And the question that we've heard a few times is, I know you guys are full-service design firm, a full-service architectural firm, but will you just do the upfront design? And obviously, the answer to that question is, of course, we will. We've talked about that before, and we'll help in just about any way that you would like us to. But at the same time, there's some advantages by keeping it all within house. But let's talk a little bit about that. I mean, we've done a lot of just the initial design work, haven't we, Hot?
Yeah, actually, yes. Let me see. I've seen a fair amount of design that's done by others, and no name is needed to be mentioned. Okay, if there is a layout and there is sometimes it's really really simple, you know, and sometimes because of the building and the configuration of the building, the location of columns and windows and all that, it'd be the creative juice needs to flow a lot. So we have done where it's limited design service, where they come and they say, okay, my designer or my supply house or whoever it is that was creating this layout couldn't solve the flow, couldn't solve the how this, you know, how the, you know, what's the last stretch of the design so that it can maximize the efficiency of how it's used and all that stuff. And we just simply step in and push them through the finish line. And those are simple tests. They're fun because they're, again, it's design problems. And I think I got a PhD in that. Okay. But we do have a situation where, builders, architects that have never done a dental office and come to us and say, can you help me through the conceptual design of how things lay out, what it look like and why and all that stuff. And we work with them or we work and create it, give it to them, explain to them why it's done this way and that way. And we in essence we become the consultant, the design consultant for them on that project. And we can do that for pretty much anyone, anywhere in the country, and possibly anywhere in the world, for that matter. And so the whole thing is give them the big picture that work, okay, that have sense, that has efficiency, it has good flow and all that, and they use everything in a logical manner. And you give it to their next level of people locally and be their lifeline if they need us and let them go with that. So we provide that kind of service any day, anytime, anywhere. Jim?
And as part of that, I think it's important to say that we just won't provide that design layout and hand it off and say, here you go, good luck. We're here to be able to help as that maybe a local architect is trying to get through and develop the documents to the point where they can get, you know, a building permit and get the building under construction and all the way through. We're basically here to help at any stage in any part of that design work. We don't want to leave them stranded. We want them to succeed because, you know, our mission is that you, the dentist, are setting yourself up to succeed, and we want to do everything to be able to help that out. It would go against our principles to be able to just say, okay, here's the design, see you later. Oh, and by the way, here's my bill.
Yeah.
We're not wired that way, and we don't want to be wired that way. We want you to succeed, and if that means that you want to use somebody local instead of us, we're okay with that. Now, there's some advantages to using just us because we don't have any learning curve. We've already learned all that stuff that needs to be learned, and we just implement. Whereas in the local architect, it's still going to have a learning curve, even if we're holding their hand in some places. There's still going to be a learning curve. And so there's always the risk of some things being slowed down or something not going as smoothly as possible when you take an approach like that. But that's okay. We can work through that. Like Hans says, there's really not any problem that can't be solved. We can solve it. It's just a matter of how does it get solved, and obviously we want to minimize any of those issues. We want to make it to go smooth as possible because we all know that the proverbial time is money, and that's exactly right. Time is money, and in all cases, how much time do we spend on something? That's how much money it's going to cost. how much time do you spend between point A and B? You're going to get to your facility and open it up, and when you're not, that's money that you're trying to recoup. And obviously, the big thing is if you've got a scheduled date of, you know, the end of the year, and it takes 4 months longer, that's money that you've lost. You need to be open. And all those things are just crucial in the discussion of how you want to go about doing that. But we're very flexible in that regard. We can work with your local builder. We can work with your local design team if that's the way you'd like to go. And we could have a whole discussion on the pros and cons about local and us. And that's all right. We'll save that for another show. Han, you were going to say something?
Yeah. Yeah, I think it's important. First of all, you know, we don't sell any equipment and stuff like that where you buy it and you're on your own to find somebody else's service and stuff like that. When we are involved in whether it's just a simple, a simple problem isolated problem in a design, or the entire concept, because we're involved, we're already by default part of the team. So, you know, part of the I think comfort in knowing that is that. That we're only like one phone call away. So if there's a problem or there's questions, if the rest of the team downstream needing more guidance and things like that, they don't have to try to figure out on their own. Okay, so it's a nice thing to have that type of service. We are very service oriented. And that there, by being part of the team at the upfront, where we already have part ownership of the project, and our wish is that everything goes smoothly. Knowledge is passed down so that the entire team can do the job properly, and you at the end, the mutual client have his other project. With less headaches.
Jim? And that has to do for existing buildings. That has to do for new buildings. So I guess, Han, you were saying and I was saying is just, you know, we're totally flexible in how we can help and approach the whole effort so that you can succeed. Now, let's jump a little bit into a question that we've heard, is there a size limit to our projects? What do you say about that one, Han?
Well, I think it depends on what to say, you know, size. Is it money or the physical size? And we have done, we have done small, brand new facility that consists of one chair. Okay. Mm-hmm. And that was in a work center. It was a government project. On that one, we were the design architect on the project, helping a out-of-state architect who is the architect of record and have never done a dental facility. So I guess the smallest project we have done in terms of a new office is a one-chair practice, and it's not in a home. But aside of that, how small is a project? We have done projects that are only where the dentist only have $20,000-$30,000 to spend, and they want to have a bought an old practice and want to refresh it, where the reception area looked like it's feel like a cave, and you want to make it more functional and things like that. So we've done not just cosmetic improvement, but actual functional and at the same time cosmetic improvement, and it was just a small little project. There's really not a, you know, a limit. Sometimes it's the size of the project may be out of range for us simply because of the location, but the ideas, the solution, can be formulated and it can be executed by local people who may or may not have the same level of experience and know-how. Jim?
Well, I know for a fact, Hon, that there's been a project that you worked on where basically the dentist wanted you to review something and it took an hour. And so that was 1 hour of work. There's been other projects that we've worked on where this happened to be in consulting, where a local architect who is the architect of record needed a dental design expert like ourselves, and we provided that service, and that took, you know, several hundred hours, including things like reviewing of just shop drawings, specifically shop drawing review of equipment that has to do with dentistry. And they found that's more cost effective to hire someone like ourselves who knows all that stuff as opposed to them trying to learn all that and then probably miss something. So there really is no size limit, both large or small, from an actual physical size or a monetary size. Ask and we'll find a way to get it accomplished, I guess, is the easiest answer to that.
Yeah, sometimes, you know, we get into complex concepts where the client or potential client is looking at creating some type of development that could be a mixed use, could be a nonprofit that is trying to maximize their dollars and still get the facility they need. We've done a few of those. Universities where, you know, they have limited space and they need to squeeze in X number of chairs and still have to be functional and stuff like that. The value that on a project like that, to have an architect with dental experiences that they can think with the rest of your team and create solutions that the rest of the project team may have not had the benefit of knowing. And, then the owner ultimately will benefit from it greatly compared to simply having a dental company. And I know people say, hey, these people sell equipment. They deal with equipment. They deal with dentist office, you know, days in, day out. They know what they do. I beg to differ with that, okay? My good friend George Bell often say, assume nothing, and that is a great piece of advice. So when we hear things like my realtor is a commercial realtor or my broker is a commercial broker and they deal with property all the time, they should know what they're talking about, maybe. Okay, they are not involved in the design. They involved in, if they don't sell the equipment, they don't sell the property, they don't make a dime. And you can buy, and we have run into this more than we care to see. We have clients that buy the building, buy the equipment, and they can't use it for what they want. So we don't assume anything. Okay, so whatever it is that you're working with in terms of facilities, have the right people on your team. Have the people that have the experience and the mind to solve problems and not create problems. Yep.
And that just falls in the vein of, you know, let the experts deal with their particular expertise and you'll have a much better chance of having a successful project. Let's segue a little bit into project types. Is there any limitation? And obviously, there are others that out there in this career base that will they do one thing and only one thing, and they'll do that particular area and say, okay, now take this design or take this product and go find someone else to finish it up. But as it comes to the project type, we have worked with, and Han, I think it's kind of important to let all our listeners know, we've pretty much done it all in that regard. We've done dental offices that are in combination with retail centers. We've done dental offices that are in combination with medical buildings or medical suites, or that are within a medical larger facility. We've done dental offices that are a part of a mixed use that might have living facilities above them. And we've worked on just about everything you can think of when it comes to obviously dealing with the medical facility. So I think it's important for our listeners to understand that just because we do dental specific doesn't mean we won't be able to help them out in those other areas, and why.
Yeah, and it's important to know that, you know, it's not as simple as I just want a dental office and I want to fit into this little box, because everything around you would affect you. It's best to know the pros and cons, the good and bad and ugly, before you actually sign the lease or buy the space. You're going to invest a fair amount of money into it. You're going to be there for a number of years. It will be miserable for you to go there every day and go, I can't stand this. Okay? People that can give you a no-nonsense advice that whether you go with them or not, there's no benefit in that they will get out of it. But purely just information for you to use so that you can make the right decision for your long term. Information is very valuable, and the right information is a lot more valuable. So we can help with all that. Sure.
Mm-hmm. And part of this too is kind of what the program that we have talked about in the last couple of shows was with the investor developer that wants to work with a dentist, for example, who would like to have a facility designed and built around their needs, but in conjunction with some retail. And, that's a prime example of kind of thinking outside the box, but it's a win-win-win because it allows for a facility, in this case it would be a new facility, to be built that maybe the dentist couldn't afford to do or couldn't take on by themselves. But if you combine the efforts of the investor developer along with what they're bringing to the table, along with your areas of expertise and obviously your need as an anchor, you've got a perfect solution that maybe would never be able to be realized if you were just doing it by yourself. Now, the other thing is that it's important to understand that obviously we'll do standalone dental offices along with dental offices within existing retail facilities. And Han, we probably do half and half, don't we? About half of our stuff is brand new, standalone on a piece of property, and the other half is probably in a retail center or some kind of an existing building that's being modified. And
yeah.
Each one of those each one of those have different levels of work necessary to get those accomplished, right?
Yeah, yeah, and that's true. That's a pretty accurate breakdown or percentage of the type of building that we work on. Let me interject a couple ideas, okay? I know that we've been approached a couple of times, and the design or the project that the dentist is working with, where the building has already been designed, conceptually anyway. I've been laid out on the site and all of that, and it's done by a civil engineer or some other previous architect and things like that. I'll just want to throw this a couple more so of thoughts for our listener to hopefully to digest. Is that regardless of who done it and why they do it, until the right answer, the right questions asked, they just assume that it's a perfect thing. It depends on the level of experience that the people who will charge to do the layout. They may done a good job, okay? But if it can be bumped up into a great job, you should ask. We have buildings that are laid out on a site, and we look at it, and we just simply go, why? The traffic pattern should go this way. The building should be placed this over here or over there. Never be afraid to ask. If it's not built yet, if it's not finalized, and you're going to be the one who invests into it, you're going to be the one who's locating it, or you're going to be the one who's leasing into that building that had been designed but not built, never be afraid to ask if you can do this or that, because it can be changed to improve how you use the building, because you're going to commit to 10, 15, 20 years at that location. The worst answer is no. But I can guarantee you that 95% of the time, if the right question is asked, that design will change. And if it benefits you, ask. I encourage you to. Because, again, one of our motto is the only dumb question is the one you don't ask. Okay.
That's how we start our show. Yep. Yeah. Yeah, yep. Exactly. That's how we start our show. And Han and I are speaking from not just, doing the last 14 plus years of dentistry. We're talking about 30 plus 35 years each in dealing with architecture and design and buildings of all types. And all of that is brought to the table and integrated into what we do. Because, sure, there are things in construction that, a house construction or an office building construction or a church construction have in common with the design and layout and the construction of a dental office. So that kind of information is crucial. And when Han was talking about how maybe a equipment supplier or someone else who was putting together a design kind of missed the mark, it's not because they're bad people. It's just that they don't have the experience and the training to understand that, I need to think about this or I need to think about that, and that needs to be integrated in. We've seen so many of it where this particular layout just isn't possible to be built because it doesn't work by code or it doesn't work by the existing structure of the building. Well, you need that knowledge base to be brought into the design effort, and that's how we get it accomplished, Han.
Here's a prime example. In the last few days, I was involved in a critique of a design. I look at the drawing and I can tell you who did it in terms of, of the supplier. Architects are trained, they do things differently, and they have, a certain DNA, the way they think, okay? They don't make blatant mistakes in design or codes, okay? They just don't. But when you look at things that you go like, this is done by, Joe at such and such, distributors, equipment distributor. So the question is this, I ask, is there a reason why the front door of the suite, this is a commercial building in a multi-tenant, multi-story structure, and the door to the suite open out into the hallway. I mean, okay, just like think of like when you're in school and the teacher's lounge door open out into the corridor and you whack a student or two. And I said, is there a reason why? I know the answer. Okay, I've designed plenty of those type of buildings. And the answer was, it's because of the fire code. No, it's not the fire code. Okay, there is a certain rules that not just because you can, because you're a designer. There are certain things you do because there's a safety factor in your design. You as the owner of the building, you're allowed to open the door into the corridor. The thing is, you, a patient coming out of your office, swing the door open, smack somebody in the face, you're going to get sued because it's your building. It's your office. In this particular case, the door can swing inward because it's allowed due to code. But you want to swing it out, and you need to reset, inset the door so that you can you eliminate that risk, that liability exposure. The right people with the right training, with the right experience, will give you the right solution, not just an out-of-the-air solution that just sounds good. Okay? The right people with the right solution will give you the right, the right design so that it protects you, not just give you a great result, but also protect your interests financially as well. Jim?
Right. And that's a prime example of not even knowing what the question to ask. That just comes with expertise. And doing this for all the years that we've done it. Well, here's one that I want to talk a little bit about in our time that we have left, is working with the local builders and how we go about doing that and the things that we can or can't do. First of all, the answer to the question, can you work with my local builder? And the answer, of course, is yes. Now, as part of that, Juan, we probably can do a whole show on just working with the local builder, the good, the bad, and the ugly, right?
Yes.
The stories that we could talk about would probably make you never want to do a building the rest of your life, or maybe, and some of them might say, well, that's a great experience. I want to work with that builder. I want them to do my project.
You probably want to clarify that the phrase of my local builder. We have the situation, or should I say, the scenario Jim was talking about, is that if you have a contractor that comes to you and say, we can take care of everything, we have our own architect, and all that good stuff, and you're gonna hear that, that song and dance all the time. Okay. Some do a very good job, and some not so much. And so the question when it comes to, to that present to us is, can we work with your local builder or contractor? They're like, Jim, say, of course, yes. But specifically, what is the other, ingredient that needs to be ironed out through the project? Meaning that if the contractor, architect, they, most of them don't have their own in-house architect, okay? We unless they are a huge construction company, but most of them don't have an in-house architect. So for us to be involved in a project and as the design architect and the contractor you hire have their own architect locally, he can become the architect of record. Can we work with that scenario? Yes. We do it all the time. Jim?
That's correct. But when I say local builder, really I'm talking about the general contractor. And also potentially the subcontractors. So we have the ability to be able to work with them and help them at whatever level that they need help with. Because just like anything, there's a knowledge base that we have. And unless this builder has done hundreds of dental offices, they probably don't have that knowledge base. And dental offices, as we've said before, are very complicated buildings. They're very complicated spaces. They have unique intricacies that need to be done, and they need to be done right. That outlet that's in the floor, that particular junction box that's in the floor for the chair has to be in the right place. And it has to be done in the right way. And again, Han and I could do a whole show on all the different ways that we've seen it done right and we've seen it done wrong. And that's just one little area of one little piece of equipment that obviously is in every operatory. So if you have 10 operatories and they put the outlet in the floor in the wrong place, or the wrong kind of junction box, you've got it 10 times. That tends to be a pretty big headache if it's not done right. And so being able to coordinate and help them coordinate if they get things done right is obviously, it's in everybody's best interest, because we want you to succeed and we want the project to be a success. So working with the local builder, obviously, we can do that. Now, here's another part of this thing. Can we help you select your local builder? And what's the advantage to that? Well, the answer is yes. And there's a big advantage for us to help you select the local builder. We know what questions to ask of that builder to be able to help, at least in the interview process, to be able to get an understanding of is this builder qualified to do the project. We've reviewed numerous proposals from builders. We've reviewed numerous proposals or bids from builders. So we know what to ask. We know why it's important. And we can bring that information to you so you can help you to make a more educated decision. And again, we could probably do a whole show on just talking about the times when we've said, select this builder, and here's the reason why, and how many times the owner said, well, I'm going to go with this builder. And what happens, a lot of times it's not good. But
well, they usually go, well, this one I can afford.
But a lot of times cheaper is not better. And here's a prime example. Cheaper contractor, sure, but the project went over by many months. Well, when you take the months that you've not been able to effectively run your practice out of the new facility, multiply that times how much money you should make every month in those operatories. The bottom line is, did you make money by getting the by using the cheaper contractor? On that particular example,
no.
The answer is no. And it's,
no.
It's a huge no.
Can we say heck no?
Yeah, we can say more than that. And unfortunately, it, after the fact, it's done. You can't really remedy that situation and make that money back. So you have to kind of just take it and move forward.
Jim, let me add a couple of thoughts to that too. There's a lot of good contractors out there. I think find the right one, and I mean everybody's saying find the right one. Preferably anyone who's on your job or on your project. I think it would be good that they possess the ability to solve problems. Okay, meaning that they can contribute an input, a recommendation into any problem that surfaces. There will be issues. You're not going to escape that. Whether it's an existing building or new building, there's always something that creep up and needing to have solution. You want to work with somebody that can actually be part of the solution. That can all actually offer solution and not become part of the give me the solution. Because it becomes very problematic when you have a construction entity on your project who can't think and chew gum at the same time. Okay. I'm being a little harsh.
Yeah, you're being a little hard, but that's okay. You bring up the important point, and just one of the many areas that we ask when we interview a contractor, and you kind of gave one of the things away there, but mostly it has to do with problem solving and their methodology on how you deal with problems on the project. Now, there's the right answer and the wrong answer, and we can tell very quickly based upon what that particular general contractor or builder, how they answer on whether they're going to be the right fit for your project or whether they're not. Because we've seen both and we see how they play out. So obviously we haven't gone through the whole list, but this is a good start. I guess the question that we would say is to answer the question, do you do this? There's probably not much we don't do or won't do as long as it is the same mindset that we want to help you succeed and do it the right way. So just ask, give us a call. You can catch us on our email. You can get us with our phone number. We're here to help. I'm glad you spent the time with us. Han and I enjoy doing this, and I can't believe it. Our next show is going to be 100 shows. We've done 100 hours of discussing dental design. All kinds of aspects about dental design. And we haven't even run out of subjects yet. We've probably got another 100 that are just lined up for us to start talking about. So, Looking forward to the 100th show, and we'll see what happens next after that. But thanks for being part of the show tonight. And Han, I'll let you have the last word.
Jim, I think I would like to start a new tradition because, the milestone of 100 is a big deal for a lot of radio program and stuff like that. And so we would not be against the idea of receiving 100 show gifts and things like that. So I'm open to that. I just want to toss that out. But anyway, it's been fun. It's been fun. I enjoy the chat we have. I appreciate all of you for plugging in and spending an hour with us. Hopefully everybody's staying healthy and safe. Until next time, have a good evening.
And I'll give our listeners a clue. If you want to give Han a gift for the 100th show, send him 100 questions. You will believe how happy he would be.
Oh, that's a good hint.
That's a good one.
Take care, bud.
Good night.
Good night.
You've been listening to HJT Design Radio Straight Talk with Jim and Han. To contact us and find out more info about upcoming shows, please log on to our website at www.hjtdesign.com. Until next time.